Hey, Jacobs. Well, I'm so glad that you're here this weekend. You've picked a great place to be. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but there's been this really tall guy hanging around our sixth graders and our youth. His name is Kevin, and I don't know if you've got to know him, but I'll tell you this. Our students have gotten to know him, and they've absolutely fallen in love with him. He's a great guy and a great leader, and this weekend he has a powerful teaching that is mixed in with a powerful personal story. And I think it's going to be about something that all of us can relate with, those times in our life when we go through deep, deep struggles. Struggles that don't make sense, struggles that come out of nowhere and surprise us. And God has taught Kevin through experience some really profound lessons. I think not only are you going to be blessed, but you're also going to be blessed knowing that we have such a great leader who's part of our youth team. And so settle in, get ready, because you're going to hear a challenging message that could change your life if you'd let it as we continue on our journey of living wisdom.
Well, good morning, Jacob's Well. Like Paul said, my name is Kevin, and I am just so excited to be here this weekend with you. Normally, I am down in JW Kids Elementary, and I lead the elementary services with Isaac, who was our speaker last weekend. But I've also been involved in JW Students on Wednesday night, helping Joshua and Taylor lead that, so I've gotten to know a lot of the middle and high schoolers here. Like Paul said again, I've spent a lot of time over the past year with the sixth graders, and when I first started coming to Jacob's Well, my wife and I would volunteer down the preschool wing. So basically, I've conquered all children's and youth ministry, all areas here, but I'm really excited for this weekend because this is the only place that I haven't been. I haven't been able to speak here, so I'm excited to speak to the parents and the adults here at Jacob's Well. Nice little turn there. So, but I'm also excited because we're in the middle of our series called Living Wisdom, and we are diving through the book of James, and today we're going to focus a lot on our trials and the tough times that we go through and just the struggles that we might face. But first, let's pray. God, I thank you so much for just allowing us to gather in your name and to be here as one community. And God, I just pray that you are present in this service, present in this message, God, and that you just allow people to open their hearts and open their minds to the message that you have to speak to them today, God. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So like I said before, I love working with kids. I love doing it. And through my experience of working with kids, I've come to realize that you never know what to expect. You never know what's going to happen. You don't know what the kids are going to say. You don't know what they're going to do. You don't know what you're going to do because of what they do or say. Working with kids is kind of nuts, but when you look back at it, it makes sense. When you look back at it, it makes sense. And this idea comes to play a lot in children's ministry. I remember, I said it before, I worked with the sixth graders. I remember the first weekend that I was coming in to work with the sixth graders, I thought, okay, awesome, I'm coming into church and I'm going to get to know the sixth graders and we're going to have a fun time. And I ended up going outside, sitting on a bar stool, just like this, with my hands out, and while they were about 10 feet in front of me, throwing soaking wet sponges at my body. And if they hit me, depending on where they hit me, they either got to dump baked beans on my head, they either got to dump freezing cold water, or they got to silly string my beard. And trust me, they silly stringed everywhere. I mean, it was crazy, but I had no idea that was going to happen. I had no expectation of that happening, but when I look back at it, it made complete sense because we just built relationships. I got to know the sixth graders super well, and we just started our year off really, really great. And, another example from my life outside of church is I used to play for the Blue Gold basketball team, and we have camps throughout the summer, and I was coaching one of those camps. So this camp was for elementary students, it's like a week-long camp that's focused on playing games. So basically, we would take all the kids and we'd split them up into five-on-five teams, and we would just play games all week long until the last day. It would all culminate in a championship game. And my team ended up being good enough to get to the championship game. And that was awesome. But let me just set the stage here a little bit. This, I don't know if you've been in a gym with 100, 150 elementary students who are just excited out of their minds, screaming their heads off at every single point that is scored. But it's crazy. I was almost to the point of confusion of like, what is going on here? Because why is it so loud? I've never been in a louder gym in my life. So just keep that in mind as I'm telling this story here. So throughout this really intense game, we literally just traded baskets. So we were with 10 seconds left, we were down by one. So basically, if we score, we win. And if we don't score, we lose. So high stakes here. So I called a timeout and I brought our kids in. And, you know, I said, we had this one student who was a really good shooter and he scored a lot of our points. So I was thinking, you know, if we're going to have the best chance to win, we all want to win here. So if we're going to have the best chance, we're going to have him shoot it. And so I said, okay, you're going to shoot the ball. And then I proceeded with the same breath to just tell everybody else, you know, here's what you're going to do. You'll go over here and you'll move this way and all that stuff. So the kids understood and they went out and they were set. So we had the shooter and one of the players over there that was going to pass the ball in, and we had to come all the way to the other side of the court and we had to score on this basket. So I'm focused over here on the other three players on our team, and I'm trying to get them in the right position because they run out and they're just in the wrong position. So I'm just like, at this point, remember, kids are screaming. So at this point, I'm like, Johnny, get to the corner. Philip, you're over here. You know, I'm all over here. I'm like, oh no, what's going on? And all of a sudden, I see something fly up here in my peripheral vision here. Something fly up, and I'm thinking, did someone like let a bird in the gym? Like, did someone leave a door open? Can we check that? No, okay, because I know it can't be the ball. I know it can't. It can't be the ball. There's no way. Okay, and I look up and, yeah, that's the ball, and there it goes. And what happened was the guys over here that I was not paying attention to, the shooter, he got the ball, he took one dribble, and baseball heaved it to the other end of the floor. And, you know, in the midst of it, I'm like, what is going on? You know, why would you shoot that? And then I thought about it, and it made sense because I told him to shoot it. I said, hey, shoot it, you know, and, you know, I figured he would shoot it maybe down here, you know, closer to our basket and not over in Altoona over here. So, yeah, we lost, but we lost, so that's the way that goes, but it made sense when I look back at it, and the reason that I tell you these obnoxious stories is because they actually relate a lot to the trials that we face. You know, we may not know how or when or why or what our trials are going to look like or when they're going to come, but we can expect them to come. And when we look back at it, many times they make sense. Many times they make sense. And James actually says a lot on this. He says a lot of wisdom into trials. And we're going to dive right into chapter 1, verse 1, and we're going to read through verse 5 here. He starts right off the bat talking about trials, right after a short greeting here. And his greeting says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. So we've talked about the greeting a couple times over the past few weeks, so I won't spend too much time on it, but basically he's talking to 12 tribes of Israel, and short little history lesson here, but there were 12 tribes in Israel. So essentially he's talking to all of God's people. He's talking to all of God's people, but he addresses them as scattered. He addresses them as scattered, and Taylor talked about this a couple weeks ago. He said, you know, these people have been pushed and persecuted, and they're just out of everything that they know. They are in a completely different land. They don't know what's going on. And, you know, I'll pause there and I'll say, have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt scattered? You know, maybe you have this going on in your life over here and it's not going right, and maybe this is impacting what's going on over here and that's going on. And then you have this other thing that you just don't want to think about right now, but that's going on, and you have a bunch of things all over the place and you don't know what to do. And that's exactly how these people were feeling. That's exactly what these people were thinking. So James doesn't waste any time. He goes right into talking about where they're at in verse 2. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. So first of all, he uses the word whenever. He doesn't say if you face trials of many kinds. He says whenever you face. So he knows that they're going to come. A, he's writing this because he knows they're in a big trial right now. But he also knows that even if they're not, it's going to come. It's going to come. But he says that when our trials come, we need to consider it with pure joy. And if you're like me, the first time that I heard this, I was a little taken back because it kind of seems like James is like, he's saying, you know, here's hard times are going to come, but just cheer up. Just be happy. That's all you have to do. And that's not what James is trying to say here. That's not what James is trying to say. Joy, the joy that James is talking about is very different than just being happy or cheering up. See, when we use the words joy and happy, we use these words synonymously in our language. You know, a happy person is joyful and a joyful person is happy. But that's not the way James uses them. That's not the way they used to use them. James says the way that James is using them is happiness, it changes. Happiness changes. And because it changes, it's a lot more short term. So, and a lot of times it's based on just the circumstances that we're in, and it's based on, you know, situations that we may go through. So maybe I'm happy because it's summer. Maybe I'm happy because I'm on vacation. I'm happy because my parents are coming this weekend. All of those things are happiness because they're based on where I'm at right now. But while happiness changes, joy is stable. Joy is stable. Because joy is stable, it's a lot more long-term, and it's based on the hope that we have for the future. So last night I asked who likes winter. I'm not going to do that. People don't like being reminded of that right now. So who likes summer? Yeah? We got some summer. Yes, okay, summer lovers. You guys might be happy that it's summer right now. I know I'm happy that it's summer, but I'm joyful because I know summer is going to come again next year and every year after that as well. That's what brings me joy. And another example of that, you know, I might be able to see good things in the world right now, but I'm joyful in the fact that that's all I'm going to see when Jesus comes and makes everything new. That's joy compared to happiness. And these are two things, these ideas are two things that I did not understand when I was going through one of the deepest and toughest trials of my life, and that was my freshman year of college. So I'm going to take some time today, and I'm going to share a lot of my story, and my prayer would be that you can take some of the wisdom that I learned from my story and apply it to your life, apply it to where you're at, and the trials that you're facing now, the trials that you have faced in the past, and even the trials that you will face in the future. So, like I said before, I'm a basketball player. And I've been playing ever since I was a kid. I remember times where I would just be, I think we have pictures here, back when I had hair. Those are great days. but anyways, I remember I would like sleep with my basketball because I knew that I would be playing when I got up, so might as well be ready. You know, so I would sleep with that. I lived it, and it was so much fun. And when I got to high school, I played on the varsity team, and I also played on a really high profile summer basketball team. And we would travel all over the nation to cities all over the place to go to these really high profile tournaments. And college coaches would come to these tournaments as well, and we would go in hopes that a college coach would see us, and they would like us and then offer us a scholarship. And that actually did end up happening to me. I got a scholarship to go play basketball at a Division II school. And I was excited. I was so ecstatic for this opportunity. You're telling an 18-year-old kid that he can go play basketball at college for free. I mean, what else would an 18-year-old kid want at that time, you know? So I was excited, but the day that I stepped on campus, things started to switch around. So when I chose to go to a small school that was really far from home. So I didn't get to see my parents. I didn't get to see my family. They couldn't come to any of my games, which that was really hard for me at that time because, you know, they'd been to every game before that. And I also, you know, I chose to go to a small school that was a commuter school as well as an online school. So either students would go home every single weekend or they just wouldn't be there at all because they were taking online classes. So that made it really hard to join clubs, get involved, and make friends because there really weren't people to befriend. There was nobody there. And this was all, you know, this can be all kind of normal freshman things to feel, but it really started to go downhill when my basketball season started. Our practices got ridiculously long, and I just remember experiencing a lot of just verbal and emotional abuse from several people that were at my college. And I just remember during practices and after games, I remember just getting screamed at, faces right here, this close to me, it was spit flying in my face, saying that I'm worthless and I should leave because I missed a shot, or that I'm a terrible person and that I'm not good enough to be here because I made a mistake. And those things were really hard for me to hear, especially day after day. And those things drove me into a pretty deep and really dangerous depression. And I remember reading these verses from James. I remember reading these. I was laying in my bed. It was late at night. I'm scrolling through my phone on the Bible app, and I'm reading, "Consider it joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds." And I'm about ready to chuck my phone across the room because I'm thinking, "God, don't you see where I'm at? Don't you see what I'm going through? How am I supposed to feel joyful in this? How am I supposed to just be happy?" And again, I didn't understand what James truly meant by this, but this was only the start of my trial. This was only the beginning. And I'll pause there and I'll say, what trials are you facing? What are you going through right now? You know, maybe your marriage is in a tough spot. Maybe you're not communicating very well. Maybe your work is extremely stressful right now. And maybe your work, the stress from that is impacting your marriage in some way. Maybe you just lost someone really close to you that you love. And you're trying to just figure out what's the next step to take and how can we continue on. And that can be really hard. And or maybe you're here and you, students especially in this room, it's common. Maybe you just feel like you're alone. Maybe you just feel like you're the only one that feels the way that you do, and there's nothing that anybody else can say to make you feel any differently. And you think it's impossible for you to feel joyful about where you're at right now. And, you know, maybe you're just like me. Maybe you're asking those questions of, don't you see where I'm at? How am I supposed to feel joyful at this time? And, you know, maybe hearing those words makes you feel upset, makes you feel angry, just like it did for me. And that's okay. That's okay, because James continues on here. He does not stop there. He says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds," in verse 3 and 4, "because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." So what James is trying to do here, he's trying to get us to take a step back. He's trying to get us to look at the bigger picture. He's using words that are long-term oriented, like perseverance and finish its work. And what he's trying to get us to realize is that we're all on this path. We're all on this path, and God is with us on this path, and he's going to make us into those mature and complete people. And actually, a lot of what we do here at Jacob's Well is centered on this. You know, our mission statement here is, wherever we are on our journey, we will take steps together to know and become like Jesus. And, you know, James puts it a very similar way here. He says, "so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And if there's anybody that was mature and complete and not lacking anything, it was Jesus. So that's the heart behind a lot of what we do here. But in order to move into that area, to become like Jesus and to be more mature and complete, we have to be willing to let perseverance finish its work. And for me, I was forced to do this because I was stuck in this situation my freshman year that I could not get out of. I decided to transfer at November, but I couldn't leave until the end of the year. So by deciding to transfer, I gave up about $60,000 of free college. But I decided that it was not worth me any amount of money for me to stay where I'm at and continue going through this. But the catch, like I said before, is I had to finish out the year, because if I transferred at November, or if I decided to transfer, if I quit at November, I would have had to sit out a year or also pay for the college that I was at this point. And that's, again, definitely something I did not want to do at that point. I did not want to pay for the college that was tearing me apart inside and out. So my depression came on extremely quickly and extremely hard. And since I decided that I was going to leave, I just started to distance myself from the pain. I distanced myself from everything, you know, from where the pain was coming from, but sadly, where also the help was coming from. And I remember I wouldn't leave my room for days at a time. I would get back from class on Friday afternoon, and I would not leave my room until I had to go to class on Monday morning. And maybe during that time, maybe I would have two bowls of Fruit Loops. I would not eat. I was not living, essentially. I wasn't alive. And, you know, I started to just hate things that I once liked, especially basketball. Basketball was bringing me so much pain, and I started to hate it. I started saying, I never want to play this again. And I would just become angry because I realized that I wasn't strong enough to get through this. I would see, you know, there were juniors and seniors on my team that have been here for 4 years, and I'm saying, well, if they made through it, am I not strong enough to do this? Am I not good enough? Am I not the best anymore? What's wrong with me? And that just made me angry, and I got so angry that at one point, I just decided to give up. I just decided that I was going to not care about anything that I was doing, about anything that was going on. I essentially shut off everything. And I stopped caring about what I was doing. I stopped caring about my life. And because of all this, sin was just rampant in my life. It was taking control of me. I did not care what I was doing, who I was hurting, anything like that. And it was a terrible, terrible period of my life. And I would talk to my parents. I would tell them things like, Mom, I hate this life. Mom, I wanna quit. I want to get out of here. I never want to do this again. I never want to play basketball. I hate this. And they would tell me, you know, they responded with such love. I to this day, I don't know how big or how much they know they impacted me, because they would just respond all the time. They would say, no, Kevin, you do love your life. You do love basketball. You have people who love you, who care about you. You care about your future, and you know that it's going to get better once you're out of here, once you move on. And what they were doing was they helped me remember who I truly was. They helped me to have a reason to fight again, and essentially they gave me a reason to persevere. And, you know, trials in this life, they can make it really hard to persevere. We have to persevere through this life regardless of what's going on. But when we face a trial, it makes it so much harder to persevere through. And they can make us start believing things that we didn't believe before. So maybe you're like me and you start thinking like, I hate this life. Or, you know, maybe I'm a bad husband, or I'm a bad parent. I'm a bad father. I hate my job. I hate where I'm going. I hate these things. If you start seeing yourself saying a lot of hate things, or also if you start seeing yourself acting in a different way than you were before, maybe you're like me and you just respond with anger. Maybe you're frustrated all the time. You just start lashing out at people just for no good reason because what's going on in your life. And when we start seeing these things, when we start seeing ourselves believe these negative thoughts in our minds and also acting in these negative ways, we're starting to see symptoms. And we've talked about symptoms a couple times during the series, but symptoms, we've come to conclude that symptoms, they show the condition of our heart. They show the condition of our heart. And James says it's impossible to try to treat the symptoms. It's a waste of our time to just try to be happy, not be angry, or anything like that. It's a waste of our time. What he says in verse 2, the two most important words that he uses in here are consider it. The very first two words that he says, consider it. And he's trying to get us to see how important it is for us to consider what's going on in our hearts and consider what's going on around us and in our lives. Because when we take the time to consider what's going on, to consider what's going on in our hearts, we enable ourselves to respond with pure joy, just like he's talking about here. And when we consider our hearts, we will also see just less and less of those symptoms that we are seeing now. So I was forced to persevere through this really tough year in my life. And, you know, it was the longest and just essentially the worst year of my life. But it ended. And I ended up transferring here to Eau Claire. And this was an amazing, amazing blessing because everyone involved in not only the basketball program, all the coaches and players there, but also the most of the entire athletic department I got to know. And it's an amazing, amazing thing what they're doing there. They care so much for their players. They want to see all their players turn into just young men and women who are going to go and make a difference in their community and use their experience from sports to benefit others. And it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, I was essentially, there are a lot of people that go to Eau Claire. So I could join clubs. I got involved in campus ministries. And essentially I got revived. I was revived. And I learned the importance of considering the condition of my heart during this. And because I could consider that, I became a different person after I transferred. I no longer have those angry outbursts like I used to. I still get upset, but I respond differently to those things. And instead of wanting to be the best and wanting to just overpower everybody else around me and being self-centered, I get filled up now by empowering other people and to be their best, to become more like Jesus. And many times, every single weekend, that's your kids. I love when I can see one of your kids just grow spiritually and become a more mature and complete version of who God designed them to be. And it's amazing. And during this time too, I learned the importance of following Jesus and what a relationship with Jesus truly means and what that looks like. And, you know, but I don't want to stand up here and just say that, you know, I went through this trial and it was hard and then I came out of it and everything was great. Because that's not the way that our life works. That's not the way life works. That's not the way mine went. As one trial leaves, we might be approached with another one. Another one comes. And for me, the second game that I played at Eau Claire, I injured my knee. And this started a 2-year-long recovery process that eventually ended with me ending my basketball career. And this was really hard. I was given this new opportunity to just this new life that I was given, but I got to take advantage of it for one game. And that was really hard, but this time I had Jesus in my life and I learned the importance of considering what was going on in my life and considering what was going on in my heart. And when we do that, when we consider the condition of our heart, and when I did it, it allows us to see the good in our past trials. We can see the good in our past trials. So I saw how I became a different person, how I became more mature and complete through my freshman year. I saw God, I was this person before, and I'm this person now, and that makes me happy. That makes me happy because I see how I grew. And because I saw how I grew, because I saw the good in my past trial, I felt hopeful for my current trials. I felt the hope in my current trial. Because I said, God, if you use that one to make me into this person, I can't wait to see how you're going to use this trial and what you're going to do in my life in this trial right now to make me into a more mature and complete person. And because I had that hope, because I felt the hope of where I was at, I experienced joy. And I looked to the future to experience the joy in all of my future trials. And I said, God, if you're using this one, if you use that one, and you're using this one, I can't wait to see who you make me to be through all of my trials and at the very end of my life. I can't wait to see how much more mature and complete you're going to make me. And I just realized that I'm on this path, but you know, living with this joy is living with wisdom. And the thing about wisdom is that it's a free gift to everybody who sees it, to everybody who asks for it, and to everybody who seeks it. And the very next verse that James writes, it's amazing. It's as if James knew what he was talking about, right? It's crazy. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." So maybe you're here, and you are looking into your past, and you've had this trial that you went through, and you don't see the good that came out of it. You don't see how you became a more mature and complete person and closer to who Jesus designed you to fully be. And if that's you, what James is trying to tell us here is that all we need to do is just ask God. All we need to do is ask God for that wisdom, and he will reveal it to us in his timing and in his plan. And in the end, we will know exactly who we are and exactly who God designed us to be. And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing, and that allows us to live with joy. However, all of this begins. It all begins, and it rides on this one point that we need to consider the condition of our heart. We have to stop. We have to let the waters still, and we have to be still with God and realize, this is how I feel about these things. You know, this is how I'm reacting to this. Here's, okay, this is going on, but I'm responding with this, and I see a lot of this in my life. And we have to ask ourselves really tough questions, like, does pure joy reflect how I'm feeling about my trials right now? Do I feel joyful about where I'm at and what I'm going through? Not happy, but joyful. And if not, what is preventing that? What is stopping me from feeling joyful about those things? And when we start to ask those questions, honestly, in our hearts, we can really experience an incredible life change. And, you know, as we look at some next steps here, if you're going through something really just difficult right now, if you're going through something hard and you would just love prayer, we have people down the hall in the prayer room that would love to get to know you, talk to you, and most of all, pray for you. And there's so much power when you let somebody else into the trial that you're facing, because many times they can see the good so much better than you can. And that's amazing. So if you're in that spot, I would just really encourage you to head down the hall here to our prayer room to talk to somebody and pray. Also, this week, take some time to just consider the condition of your heart. Consider where you're at, whatever that looks like for you. You know, just look around, look inside of you and say, how am I acting for this? How am I responding with this? How do I feel about where I'm at right now? And lastly, be hopeful. Be hopeful, because God is using you. He is using you for his glory, and he's creating you into the person he designed you to be. You know, it's amazing, because the fact that I'm even here today shows how much power God has, shows how much he pursues us, how intentionally he loves us, and how much he designed us to be an incredible and just amazing and mature and complete person. And he's making me into more of that every single day, and he's doing the exact same thing for everyone here. And that's amazing. You know, my path has continued after that. I got married, I got baptized shortly. And if you're here and you haven't been baptized, we have an exciting event coming up called Splash. And we have a baptism class this Tuesday night at 6:30. And if you're at all interested in getting baptized, I would just really encourage you to go to that class on Tuesday night. Because Splash is one of the most fun nights of the year. It's amazing. We will hear, it's just a time of celebration. We're going to hear a lot of testimonies about where God has brought people through what the trials that they've gone through and where they are today. And there's so much power when we listen to those trials. And we also celebrate the new life in Christ that they've accepted and the new life that they've accepted for themselves. And we celebrate the joy that they will have in the future. And the joy that they will be able to experience as they go through trials and as they go through all the ups and downs, but as they follow God through all of it. And so if you're interested at all in getting baptized, if you haven't been baptized before, or also if you're interested in serving at Splash and making all of this possible, we have some boxes on your connection cards. Feel free to check that off if you're interested in serving or getting baptized, and we'll get you connected here and ask your next steps. But trials in this life, we may not know how or why or what they're going to look like or when they're going to come, but many times when we look back, they make sense. And if they don't make sense, they will. They will. And because we can understand that, we can start to feel hopeful about where we're at in the trials that we're facing now. And the hope drives us into joy for the future trials that we face in this life. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for just allowing everybody to be here and to hear this message, God. And I just pray that you would send such hope into the hearts of everybody here. And God, help all of us to know that you are with us all the time through the ups and downs, no matter what we are going through. And help us to know that you are forming us into a mature and complete person that you designed us to be. And God, we love you and we thank you and we praise you for all of that. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.